When your life approaches its twilight, as you look back, what sort of regrets might you have? Here's Skip Heitzig.
An elderly woman wrote these words, obviously toward the end of her life, looking back. She said, "If I had to live my life over, I'd dare to make more mistakes the next time. I'd relax. I would limber up. I would be sillier than I have been this trip. I would take few things seriously. I would take more chances. I'd climb more mountains. I'd swim more rivers. I would eat more ice cream and less beans. I would perhaps have had more actual troubles, but I'd have fewer imaginary ones."
Make the connection.
Going to do when you retire? Many of us probably have dreams of traveling the world or enjoying a nice cabana or a secluded beach somewhere. But the sad truth is that most of us won't get that chance. In fact, many of us have to continue work even after retirement. And you can be sure that even after you're retired, God will still have plenty of work for you to do. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig gives us one example of that as we continue to study the life of Joshua. Now, before we get started, though, one of the things you'll never have to retire from is sharing the gospel. No matter how old you are or what occupation you may have, it's one job in the kingdom we can all be a part of. And here's just one way Skip would like to encourage you to get involved with that.
Paris, the city of lights. The city of love, but a city that needs to hear about real love, the agape love of God. Paris may have a reputation of being a city for its many streets, canals, and bridges, and romantic ambiance, but only the love of Christ will satisfy our desire for true love. Help us share this good news in the streets of Paris and around the world as a member of the Global Connectors. Join today for just $25 a month. And when you do, not only will you help us share the truth about love with people all over the world, you'll also receive a free resource each month. This month, you'll receive a teaching from Michael Dente from Calvary Chapel, Paris.
In a city so known, therefore, for its immorality, its intellectualism, and its riches, it would appear that Paul only saw one solution to cure their spiritual ills, and that was to know Christ, to know Jesus Christ, and to know Him crucified.
When people think romance, they often think of Paris. But in order to truly experience love, what we need is not a trip to a city of romance, but a trip to the cross. Help us share the good news of God's love in Paris and around the world as a member of the Global Connectors. Call today, 1-800-922-1888, or visit connectionradio.org.
Well, we hope you get on board as a Global Connector this year. You can find out all about that at our website, connectionradio.org. Or you can write us anytime here at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. You know, Joshua may have been ready for retirement, but God had other plans for him as Israel moved in to take the land he promised them. Stay with us as we learn what God wanted Joshua to do and how he also has plans for us, even after we retire.
And make the
open your Bibles once again to Joshua, as Skip Heitzig begins today's study by introducing a shift in Joshua's job description.
Now Joshua was a leader. God used him in an uncommon way to see an uncommon work. Think about the miracles that Joshua saw. Think about the supernatural things this man observed with his own eyes. The Jordan River opening up. 40 years before, the Red Sea opening up. Once in the land, the walls of Jericho falling down. He saw something very supernatural and very uncommon. But now, chapters 13 through 24, Joshua is involved in a very common job. He's going to be a surveyor of the land. He's going to dole out real estate. Back to the mundane. Back to the Monday through Friday stuff. Not the miracles that you see in the first 12 chapters. This now is taking what God gave to them. My father was a land developer in Southern California. He loved it. He loved plotting land and looking at real estate maps and the boundaries and the borders and the contracts. I knew nothing about them. I still don't. And he came by it honestly because his father, my grandfather, was a homesteader. Now, that's a piece of American history. Back in the day when the American government was giving to people the right to settle a piece of land for free, whatever they could occupy and farm, my grandfather took a piece of Laramie County, Wyoming, and created a little piece of farmland and raised his family there. The land from which this country was founded. Well, that's the theme of the rest of the book, the land. 85 times the word land appears in this book. And 60 times the word inherit and inheritance. Because that's what it's about. This is the land. This is what God promised the children of Israel. The promised land flowing with milk and honey. So they've arrived and now they'll dole it out. So we're not surprised if the rest of this book reads sort of like a real estate contract. It does. That's sort of the details. This tribe gets this piece and there's the border and then it goes to that place and you turn up that way. There's a lot of that and some of that we're going to skip. We're going to survey it from 30,000 feet. But by way of reminder, chapters 1 through 5, entering the land. Chapters 6 through 12, conquering the land. And now chapters 13 to the end of the book, distributing the land. That is the bulk that we face tonight. Now there's two heroes in the book that to me are exciting. And both of them are in their 80s. That's really exciting to me. It shows me that the older you get, you can still be a hero. Joshua and Caleb, in fact, you'll see Caleb tonight, will say, I'm 85 years old today. Both of these are old coots in this book. But God is still using them. I love it. And so we begin in verse 1 of chapter 13. Now Joshua was old, advanced in years. And the Lord said to him, you are old. God's honest. Not, Joshua, you look really good. Joshua, you're old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land to be possessed. Nobody likes to be reminded of their age. And frankly, getting older scares most people. It's typically where the biggest trials of life will fall. Joshua, however, seems to be just getting started in terms of being used by God. He knows he's old. God reminds him that he's old. And there's a lot of land yet to be taken, occupied, according to God's promise. I want to share something with you. An elderly woman wrote these words, obviously toward the end of her life, looking back. She said, if I had to live my life over, I'd dare to make more mistakes the next time. I'd relax. I would limber up. I would be sillier than I have been this trip. I would take few things seriously. I would take more chances. I'd climb more mountains. I'd swim more rivers. I would eat more ice cream and less beans. I would perhaps have had more actual troubles, but I'd have fewer imaginary ones. You see, I'm one of those people who lived sensibly and sanely hour after hour, day after day. Oh, I've had my moments. And if I had to do it over again, I'd have more of them. In fact, I try to do nothing else. I would want just moments one after another, instead of living so many years ahead of time. I'd be one of those persons who never goes anywhere. I'm one of those persons who never goes anywhere without a thermometer, hot water bottle, raincoat, and parachute. If I had to do it again, I would travel lighter than I have. If I had to live my life over, I would start barefoot earlier in the spring and stay that way later in the fall. I would go to more dinners. I would ride more merry-go-rounds. I would pick more daisies. And we're going to find that Caleb would say, I want more mountains to conquer at 85. Now, Joshua says that he's old. God tells him he's old. We'll discover the other hero in a few chapters. Look at verse 2, though. This is the land that yet remains, all the territory of the Philistines and all that of the Geshurites. Now, in the next few verses, 3 through 6, beginning in the south and moving towards the north, God will spell out all of the territory they haven't yet occupied and taken as their own. He goes through the land from south to north, as if to say, come on, get busy. Time to divvy up that land. Verse 7. Now therefore, divide this land as an inheritance to the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. With the other half tribe, the Reubenites and the Gadites received their inheritance when Moses had given them beyond the Jordan eastward, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given them. So, Joshua is to recognize and confirm that plot of land that those 2.5 tribes east of the Jordan had requested. You may remember that they went to Moses and they said, hey, look, there's great pasture land on the east side of the Jordan River. We have a lot of cattle. We have a lot of flocks. We don't want to go on the other side of the Jordan. Let us stay here. Moses said, okay, deal. But you have to come over and help the 9.5 other tribes settle their land. And once they've settled down, you can go back and settle your land. In other words, you're drafted in the army. You have to come and fight and take this land that God has given to us and then go back. So verse 32, go down to that. These are the areas which Moses had distributed as an inheritance in the plain of Moab on the other side of the Jordan by Jericho eastward. Now verse 33. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance. Now you go, wait a minute. They got the short end of the deal. No, no, no. They got the best part of the deal. You go, what do you mean the best part of the deal? They don't get any land. Yeah, but finish the verse. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he had said to them. Now, what that will mean practically is that the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe that will minister in the tabernacle, they will be living from the support of the other tribes in Israel. All of them will pitch in. And when they bring their offerings to the tabernacle, the thank offering, the grain offering, the trespass offering, they will take part of that, part of the meat, carve off a section for themselves, and they will go home and they will eat it. Plus, we're going to see in chapter 21, 48 cities scattered throughout all of the landscape will be given as Levitical cities, which means you'll have Levites living everywhere throughout all of the tribes. And we'll find out why that is important in just a little bit. But really, what could be better than that? Remember, God came to Abraham and he said to Abraham after he said, what are you going to give me, Lord? Well, actually, first God said, I am your exceeding great reward. And Abraham should have said, wow, I'm so honored. You're giving me intimacy with yourself, a relationship with yourself. I get to walk closely with you. You're going to be my personal shield and my reward. He didn't say that. He said, well, what else are you going to give me? Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Where are you aiming your sights in this life? As you're plotting your course, what are you after? In the end, what are you aiming at? There was a grave in southern France by the Mediterranean coast, and a simple tombstone that read, here lies the soul of Count Louis Esther Field. People walked by it for years. One day, somebody dug it up and found a box, and inside, jewels, and a note that read, "To you, my heir, I bequeath this wealth." Listen to this. "In this box is my soul, the money without which a man is but a machine, and his life a long procession of weary, empty years." That's what he lived for. And so now he's dead in a casket with his little soul, his little jewels right here. That's what he's living for. Well, what does it profit if you have the whole world but you lose your own soul? Hey, tribe of Levi, the Lord is your inheritance. You get to be in the ministry, and trust me, you'll be taken care of. Joshua chapter 14 is the day everyone has been waiting for. This is payday. This is when everybody gets the land, finally, tribe by tribe, that God had promised them. Now, they do this by an interesting method that it's not going to sound that spiritual. They cast lots. And I've read a lot about casting of lots, and this is what I've discovered in all of the Bible dictionaries, Bible encyclopedias, all of the language helps. Nobody knows exactly what they did. The best they can get, the best they can gather, is that this is sort of like the equivalent of flipping a coin. And that God superintended that flipping of the coin or casting of the lot. As it says in Proverbs chapter 16, the lot is cast in the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. So somehow supervised by the priesthood, ultimately by the Holy Spirit himself, using stones or sticks of different lengths, the equivalent of flipping a coin, casting lots, the land was divided. In verse 1 of chapter 14, these are the areas with which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, distributed as an inheritance to them. Their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Verse 6, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me in Kadesh Barnea." Now you're going to discover he's 85 years old when he says this. So he probably sounded like, "You know the word that Moses spoke." I don't know that he sounded all that spry. Maybe he did. I'm guessing now. "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." This is his testimony. They did not trust God. I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, some of you think, doesn't sound like a testimony. It sounds more like a bragamony. He's bragging that he followed the Lord. But it was true. Only Joshua and Caleb, by God's own admission, were the only ones that had the faith and crossed from that last generation. So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old." There's something I notice about these guys. They're not afraid. They're not ashamed of their age. Isn't it funny how when you're young, you want to be older? And when you're older, you want to be younger. It seems that nobody is satisfied. And I've always been intrigued by the way people monitor time and tell their ages. You know, when a baby's a baby, he's so many weeks and then months old. Oh, he's 15 months old. And then as they get just a little bit older, they keep time by half years. This is very important to kids. Oh, so you're 9? No, I'm 9 and a half. Excuse me. I was way off. And then, as you get a little bit older, you monitor time by whole years. And then as you get older, you start doing it by decades. I'm in my 30s. Yeah, but what side are you on? I'm in my 40s. And then you get to a point where don't ask. But these guys and God are very, very honest and unashamed about their age. I'm 85 years old today. I'll tell you what the testimony of Caleb was. Is his faithfulness to God over the grind, day after day, of 40 years in the desert. Everybody's mumbling, complaining, dividing. Joshua and Caleb, holy, serving the Lord. The greatest testimony I've ever heard isn't the drug addict who was saved out of drug addiction, or the alcoholic, or the mass murderer, although those are great testimonies. But it's somebody who became a Christian at an early age and were kept by God all those years and stayed faithful. That's a tremendous testimony. Here's an 85-year-old guy going, right now I'm 85. And God's kept me alive. But he's still serving. Look at verse 11. It gets better. As yet, I am strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Somebody once said, you are as young as your faith. You are as old as your doubt. Here's an 85-year-old person who's very young and spry, a young whippersnapper, because he's got that faith. I'm just as strong today as I was then. I want that mountain. I'm going to take those enemies. It could be that God will be with me. And won't that be a story in your newspapers? 85-year-old geezer takes over a whole territory while the rest of these tribes are so afraid to move in. This guy's... You know what I'm reminded of when I was reading this? And I'm going to date myself, and some of you are going to remember Jaws. How many of you remember the movie Jaws? Okay. Jaws 1, I think, came out in 1975. I refused to see it because I knew that I would be so terrified I'd never go in the ocean. Because everybody else that saw it said, oh man, dude, I'm not like surfing for like a year.
Truth is, there isn't any age too old or too young for God to use for His glory. However, no matter how old we may be, we need to have hearts that are ready to serve, whatever the task may be. And that's going to wrap up our time for today. But before we go, this month we'd like you to get a copy of Skip's new book, God Print. It's a fascinating look at the life of Abraham. And here's how you can order a copy today.
When Neil Armstrong stepped onto the moon for the first time, he left an impression that remains there to this day. His footprint in the lunar sand. Most of our footprints don't last, but that doesn't have to be the case. We can walk in such a way that our influence stands the test of time and will not be quickly eroded by the waves of forgetfulness. Abraham was a man who walked in a way that made a difference. These many millennia later, the path of Abraham brings light and lessons for us today. Join Skip Heitzig as he explores the life of Abraham and reveals how we can leave a lasting mark for the kingdom of God in the new book, God Print. Plus, when you order God Print, we'll also send you The Royal Road of Love, a CD and booklet set that teaches the real meaning of love and comes with two original songs written by Skip Heitzig. Discover how the footprints of God in our life can help us leave a lasting impression on the people we encounter. Order the new book from Skip Heitzig, God Print, along with The Royal Road of Love for just $25 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
And you can also get in touch with us for a copy of today's message from Skip. It's available on CD for just $6, which includes shipping. And you can order now by visiting our website at connectionradio.org or when you call us at 1-800-922-1888. Also, make sure you ask about how you can receive the Connection magazine when you call us. Again, the number, 1-800-922-1888. 972-1888. Or you can also write us here at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And thank you for supporting the ministry of The Connection.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Next time here on The Connection, we'll see how Joshua's career ended and how Israel didn't quite fulfill their task of conquering the Promised Land, which would lead to trouble in the near future. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.